Hello, and thanks for listening to the Kept Faith Podcast. I'm Nick McCann. I'm joined by Travis Russell.
Hey, go Padres. 13 and 13, I guess.
We're starting over.
New season starts today.
Yeah, new season starts today. I'm really excited about our team some days, and it's it's working out.
And then days like today, it's what's happening.
Well, I'm really excited. We have on the pod today, Dallas McLaughlin.
Hey, guys. Really good. First time, long time. Really excited to be back.
as our number one patron.
Nick, you're burying the lead. It's DKF 250, dude.
I know. I was going to bring everybody. The lead. I was going to let you do it.
Don't need to let me do it. Listen, we're going to talk about it in a minute, but I'm very, very excited about this Padres season. I have not been let down at all.
I know. Yeah, we're at 500, but it feels like a healthy 500.
Right? It's a healthy 500. It's a healthy 500.
Well,
anyway, sorry.
Yeah,
let's get the whole thing going.
This is a special night. This is a special night for us. As of right now, the Padres are 13-13. This is the 250th TKF recording, and we thought it'd be fun to bring back our first producer / co-host, Sean O'Donnell. Who started the podcast with us in his house in Encinitas? I think that was the first.
No, that was the second iteration.
Oh, did we start? Oh, yes, Travis. Sorry.
The first iteration was you, me, and Trav at the McRussell house.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
63rd Street. Yeah.
63rd Street. And we recorded for like, I don't know, a few months. And then we stopped. And then Sean was like, let's get it back up. Let's get it back going again. And we went on 33rd Street.
That's right.
33rd Street house. Was it 32nd or 33rd? When you first lived with Aaron, Sean.
So that was.
I don't remember doing it there ever. I do remember. By the way, hi, everyone. It's great to be back.
Oh, Sean O'Donnell.
Sean O'Donnell.
We did. This feels like home. I thought we did it. I remember doing it in Encinitas. We had bought the house in Encinitas. I had a little studio. I put like chairs in there. We had mics.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think we ever did it in North Park.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So Encinitas. And we did it there for a long time. And that was where we introduced drafting Padres minor leaguers.
Oh, yeah. What was the guy who we had down on the farm? We had a bunch of sound clips.
Yeah, we had a whole thing.
It was Corey Spangenberg.
Corey Spangenberg.
By the way, we didn't know who that was. We literally just picked his name because we're like, how do we pronounce that?
Yeah, that's where we started a lot of bits. And then
we should check in with Corey. I bet we could get him.
I bet we could get him. Yeah.
Have you guys had any players on? I mean, like, first off, congratulations. 250 of anything is an incredible accomplishment. And I was, you know, I listened to all of them, but I'm just for the people who maybe didn't. Did you guys get to have any players on, any coaches?
We had Ryan Schimpf.
Okay.
About 2 weeks after or 3 weeks after he had stepped away from the game. So that was very cool guy. Very interesting conversation. He was very cool and like really grateful for his time in San Diego. And, you know, just,
yeah,
it was really fascinating to talk to him because he played college baseball with a couple guys that went pro. I forget who it was, but there was a couple guys and he was very like focused on LSU baseball, which is
okay,
kind of like his favorite time, I think.
So. Yeah, that's the thing. LSU baseball.
LeMahieu. He played with LeMahieu.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Bobby LeMahieu.
Well, that's it's incredible. It's really, you know, I know that 250 episodes of this podcast is a thing, but this has been going on a lot longer than that. I know, you know, Nick, this was born many, many moons ago. So congrats on 250. That's it's incredible.
Congratulations.
Yeah, we started the blog spot right before
that's what it was.
Right before the 08 opening day. It was like
we were the first non-sanctioned Padres podcast.
And is that we're true?
That is true.
So. I don't know. Yeah.
It is true. Elston started something around the same time, but it was through the radio station, which was through the Padres. So it's kind of wonky.
Sanctioned.
It's kind of wonky, yeah. but we both started about the same time. But yeah, listen, we're the only ones still going, right? I think everybody else gave up.
I mean, you know, Gwynpelligence and you know, the Gennaro-less Padres hot tub is.
Oh yeah, hot
you
tub know. Still goes. Chris Reed, our friend Chris Reed. Elston,
I was on Chris Reed's.
Wait, Gennaro's not doing hot tub anymore?
No, he's not.
Oh,
yeah,
he can't.
Yeah.
He can't. He got a job with like another outlet. But
Sean was on. You did one of their Patreon episodes.
Yeah, I did a Patreon only. So hey, look, this isn't the only Padres podcast I do, Nick.
Hold on a second. I think I'm over it.
Okay. Well, I mean,
I'd do any podcast that'll have
me. No, I mean, me too. this 250 number is basically coming from, we stopped for a couple of years and then we started up right after Preller made all those trades going into 2015. So the 250 number is basically the 2015 through now, which is basically the Preller era. You know,
that's well, can basically... I say, and can I say, like, we, you know, and when I say we, I mean, for the large majority, Nick has kept this thing moving along.
We just don't stop.
We just don't stop. but the Kept Faith collectively has done some really, really cool things that I don't think a lot of people know, like realize. One, we've done, we did live podcasts. We did an ice cream social. We did a opening day hang. We've also done, the TKF United series I thought was really awesome. We had city council members on. We had like really high ranking officials on, like
Padres Cannon,
which I would love to bring back.
Yeah, we should.
You know what? I'm going to bring it back this summer. I'm going to make that declaration. Bringing it back this summer, season two. We give, you know, Ben and Woods, we give Ben and Woods most of their content. So, I mean, I think,
and I still think I take credit for connecting Ben and Woods to begin with, but that's a little controversial. They met at the one in North Park at the our live podcast at, what's it called?
Oh yeah, when we did the Whistle Stop live podcast.
They met there, and I remember afterwards them standing next to the pool table talking for the entire trivia time.
That exactly. I would love that to be. The origin story of Ben and Woods is that somehow they met.
I see that those two guys got to throw out the first pitch together at the same time?
And Paul.
I think that needs to happen for Nick and Dallas and Trav.
I mean, I'm available. Let's go.
As long as we all hold hands.
As someone who got to throw out the first pitch at a game last year, it's one of the best things you could ever do in your life. I hope you guys get to do that.
I don't know if my knees would be able to walk out to the mound. I'd be so excited.
Like, Sean, we'd have a better chance throwing out the first pitch at an A's game than a Padres game.
I could probably make it happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think the best thing about it is we've just been able to bring people into our little circle and have conversations every, you know, sometimes it's weekly, sometimes it's monthly, but, you know, it's...
We've been doing this since we were in our 20s.
I tell people that, you know, the best thing about having a podcast is you get to talk to people for an hour and not look at your phone, and they don't look at their phone, and it's like a hyper extended
I don't know. I love that we're still doing it, and I love this Padres team. I'm not gonna lie.
Let's get into it. Let's
you gotta be excited. Like, this is the most fun. Okay, going back to Preller kickstarting this podcast, you just admitted to that, right?
It's the Preller,
like, this is the most exciting Padres era since what, the 98 season, like, right? Isn't
I don't know, man. Like, 2010 through 2012 was pretty exciting. People were pretty stoked back then. Adrian, Eckstein, we had like Tejada, like we had some good squads.
This
feels like it's going longer.
I think when you say this era, you mean like Manny signs, they promote Tatis early, and it's like 19 through now.
It's been like five years. That seems like you haven't had a 5-year stretch in a while. Maybe when Peavy was there.
Yeah, I mean,
it's the 2010 thing. That's what I'm talking about.
But even Peavy was before that, too, where...
He was 06, 07.
Yeah.
5 through 07 is basically the
season that he basically... Like, you say that Petco was because of Peavy, like that year. Whatever that year was. That was way before that.
Yeah.
I think what I'm excited about this team the most is that I'm not expecting anything, so everything that I get is great. And that's exactly where I want to be when I'm a Padres fan. Like, last year was a big letdown because we expected everything and we got nothing. And this year we're playing 500 ball. But like you said, it's a healthy 500. I feel like every time they're actually like trying to win the game. Whereas last year, it's like if we were down 2-0, we were losing the game. We were never coming back.
It's a less frustrating middling team than last year, I
think. So for you guys, that was rough last year. Losing, you lose Soto and you lose Snell. And so then you just say, well, we're not competing, so we don't care. Or is it more than that? Are there other pieces other than Melvin being gone that's kind of recalculated your expectations to what you're saying right now?
I think I've been, well, my personal feeling is that I have been a big proponent of Snell or of Soto being off of this team. So when Soto was gone, I did not have a problem with Soto leaving. Did I think Soto was bad? No, not at all. That's people have always misconstrued. I don't think Soto's bad. I think he's a great baseball player.
Yes.
So this would be like Bill Simmons' Ewing theory, where it's like a good player leaves a team and the team gets better.
Yeah, I just think that him coming to the – actually, what's funny, Sean, is when you threw out that first pitch of the A's game, Joe and I spent like 3 hours talking about this in the stands. Like, there's all these theories that Soto didn't get along with Manny and that Tatis didn't get along with, didn't understand the dynamic. And it was like, who do you follow? Who's the leader? Like, who's the superstar? And there was all these problems. And whether it was that or not, something was wrong on the field. Something wasn't working on the field. They weren't trying. They weren't playing. They didn't give a shit about Melvin. Like, it was just, it was a mess. And now that Soto's gone, these guys actually look like they're all playing and having fun. They look like they're trying. And I'm not saying like Soto, and it's not like Soto's a clubhouse cancer. There was just something off with the team. And he was not helping. He was hurting the team. The Padres were a worse team the moment he came over to the organization. It's just objectively, they were a worse team. So like, I'm not worried that he left. If anything, that was great because then it forced us to bring up some guys. Like Jackson Merrill is very fun to watch. He's really good. I mean, not really good. He's good. He's hitting like 328 right now. He's doing great. And it's like, I'd rather watch Jackson Merrill.
So what you're saying is you'd love to have CJ Abrams back because he looks like he's pretty good.
That one looks like that one's going to hurt.
I watched CJ Abrams the other day. He's really good.
He's really good.
And he looks like he could put on like 30 pounds and then like whatever his average is.
Really hit for power. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is interesting. Like, and by the way, again, thanks for having me on. Big fan. But I don't talk a lot of Padres other than with my 10-year-old who's a fan. So like, I didn't know the Soto kind of viewpoint, like that he was not good for the team.
Well, they did trade for him, and then they did go to the playoffs the same year that they got him.
Yeah, but yeah,
I'm just saying, beat the Dodgers in the playoffs.
I just want to make that clear. He did. Yeah, he didn't play great.
I didn't know though that this was the party line was that like Soto was bad for the team, like that a guy that young would be a clubhouse cancer. Like that's an interesting take. I haven't heard it. I'm just letting it sink in right now.
I think there was a UT article about it, right?
Yeah, there was something along those lines.
Who wrote it? Who from the UT wrote that?
Fanny Fachado wrote it.
We've had them all on.
Basically. Yes. Man, AC
article. Hold on. I need to address that, Nick. Yeah. I didn't say that Soto was a cancer. I specifically said I don't think he's a clubhouse cancer. There was just something that was not gelling with him on the team. And I think the chemistry did not work.
Yes.
I think it did come down to leadership. I think it came down to Machado and Soto both being superstars and who's the superstar you follow. And I think of all the things that you could say about Machado, I think he doesn't like to share that spotlight. I think he wants to be the captain and that's the end of it. And I think that's probably the worst thing you could say about him. And I think that Soto had different plans. That's my theory. I don't have.
Yeah. There probably is a fissure that comes up when you have four stars, you know, three of them are yoked up and they're committed long term. I mean, Bogarts, Tatis, and Manny are basically going to finish their careers here. Soto wasn't in that situation.
Soto had
I think there's a natural
out the door. Right?
Yeah, I think that's probably the fissure.
Like the day he got there.
100%, Sean.
So I could see that being the thing more than like, I don't know, the weird vibes are just created by the contract that the Padres traded for.
And I think the Bogart signing, and I kind of wanted to tie this back into where I kind of disagree with Dallas, but I think was the biggest catalyst for the tension in the team. Because once they've spent all that money on Bogarts, who's an older dude, Soto, the quote is, there's no money here for me. So he's traded. He knows he's got a whole year where nothing really matters, because why does it matter? He can have an off year. Then he's got a whole nother year before he's going to go into his big contract. And look what he's doing for the Yankees now. It's almost insulting.
Well, like, I don't think...
What
here's
a
the thing,
total
though,
jerk to not even try for the Padres, not even show up, and then go to the Yankees where it's, you know, where he always wants to be and is literally hitting the ball harder than I've ever seen a human hit the ball.
I would argue that he didn't have a terrible season for us last year.
He didn't have a Juan Soto contract season.
He didn't have a contract season. I will grant you that. But he didn't have it. He wasn't terrible last year. But I do agree with you that I think the biggest miscue in the Preller era has definitely been the Bogart signing. I think that was a weird move.
That's a weird one. I still don't.
It's then you had to re-sign Manny, and you had to reshuffle.
I love the Manny signing. Manny should be here forever, though. I have no problem.
I'm just saying that. But I don't think that would have happened if they hadn't assigned Bogarts. Like, all this money, all of a sudden, at the top of 2023, was just like spent, like just so much money that I don't think the team's even recovered from what that implies 2 or 3 years down the road. You know what I mean?
Mm. What are the other bright spots? I mean, obviously, this is interesting because there's like it's a 500 team that it has a lot of people are feeling pretty positive about, you know, considering, yeah. You know, I don't know what we were at this point last year, but I think the other bright spots, you know, besides Jackson Merrill, looks like he's a guy.
Dylan Cease, dude.
Hey, that's in the column for a win for Preller, I think, you know.
Hey, Sean, you have your hand up.
I just wanted to remind you guys, I don't know if you know this, but Juan Soto led the Padres in basically every batting category last year.
I told you he didn't have a bad year, but also
he did really well. Like, I didn't know that, but now I'm looking at that.
I wasn't in
every category except for batting average, which was Bogarts, but literally every other hitting counting stat was Soto, but it's fine. It's fine.
But also, again, Yankee Stadium is a better hitter's park.
It is. Also. And that's the thing.
I think that's like
when he's hitting around like Judge and Volpe and Torres. And
you're going to take a dude hitting 35 home runs on the Padres like that. The Giants, I don't know who's hit that many home runs. I can't remember for the Giants. 35 home runs in a season? What the heck?
Yeah, but when's the last time you had a 35 home run hitter and a World Series? I'd rather have the World Series than the 35 home run hitter.
Yeah, we had three.
the other bright spot that I think is really impressive is that I at least as of last night, I think the Padres, they've had basically the best bullpen in baseball the whole time, which is amazing. I mean, they kind of pieced it together. Suarez looks like he's going to be a guy, and that, you know, from top to bottom, they've had really good pitching, and it's really the starting pitching besides Cease and Kent King looks like he could be like a third starter in a playoff series. I don't know. I just don't know, like, hanging it on like Yu Darvish and Musgrove. Musgrove has been alarming, I think. Right?
Yeah, like, I think Musgrove's cooked. I mean, honestly, I think that he was No Joe got shut down last year.
I've got to listen to this podcast more. I didn't realize things were so dire. Joe Musgrove is bad, and Juan Soto is
bad. It's not bad.
It's not. You're putting words in our mouth.
This is the most.
But it is like, is Musgrove a number two?
No. Musgrove at this point is a number four. Musgrove, he just can't. He can't seem to figure it out. I don't think he's bad. He's just not nearly what we thought it was going to be. I think his arm got fatigued pretty quick, and I don't know how he gets out of it. Yu Darvish is also 77 years old. So I can't, him getting hurt, he's going to get hurt. Like, I just love that we get to watch Yu Darvish pitch. Honestly, I have no problem with it. And that's the biggest reason, Sean, I'd love to get your feeling on this. I didn't really care if we signed Blake Snell or not for talent. I just love Blake Snell. Like, he seems like such a fun person to have on a team. Obviously he had a great season last year for us, won a Cy Young.
Yeah.
But now he's just stinging up the ballpark for you guys.
Yeah, his ERA is like $4 billion. I just real quick,
but you guys didn't pay him that much, right?
Full circle of this show was like, at the beginning of the show, you guys would give like your right and left arms to sign a Juan Soto. And now you guys can complain about him being the best player on the team. It's just beautiful. It just makes me so happy because you guys have come so far where you would have like, you would have eaten actual trash off the ground for the GM of the Padres, John, like before Preller, just to sign anybody.
We didn't sign Soto.
And then you got him and you're like, yeah, he wasn't that good. It's just,
I would love to go back and listen to the podcast after that trade, because I don't think we were tripping on Mackenzie Gore
but what I'm saying is though, but like
we just said about, I'd rather have Abrams than a year of Soto sucking. For Soto, not sucking relative.
I was jacked about Josh Bell. I was like, Josh Bell.
Yeah, you guys used to be so thirsty, and then you became like the hot girl. Uh-huh. And now it's just like, whatever. Like, I'm over it.
Listen, you do that Soto trade every day of the week.
He led the team in every statistical category. Like, he was great.
We didn't make the playoffs. It didn't matter. It's not just his fault.
He was on the roster when you guys were down at Petco.
Hey, Sean.
Link was playing over the PA and Raymond.
Yeah. And Sean.
Yeah.
All of
that. Yeah.
Every year, somebody leads the Padres in every statistical category. Phil Nevin used to lead the Padres in every statistical category.
Phil Nevin was great. He was great.
And guess what wasn't great? The team. But he was sure great to watch.
But you can't blame Juan Soto on that. If Juan Soto would have hit 45 home runs, you guys still wouldn't have won the World
Series. But Sean, I don't care about personal statistics. Watching the Padres last year was one of the most miserable years I've ever watched the Padres. They couldn't come back. They couldn't hit with runs in scoring position. It was watching a bunch of guys complete personal statistics, and it was horrible baseball. So,
but that's all we're saying. Is there something off?
It's fun.
Like, it was not fun to watch play last year. We're talking about multiple things.
It wasn't just him, obviously. If he had the most RBIs by a lot, it wasn't just that he wasn't performing. You had other people also not playing the kind of baseball you needed to get to where you guys expected the team to get.
Well, we were under the guidance of a manager who now you have. How's it going with the Sleepy Bob?
I don't care. You call him. I liked Kapler. Like, whatever.
I hated Kapler. I hated the way he.
That's
talked.
Fine. Okay. He's so strong. Look, the manager is like 10% of the problem or the solution. I just don't care about managers. Agreed. I think that mostly it's GMs. So whatever, the Bob Melvin switch is like, you know, we were a 500 team last year. We're a 500 team this year. You know what I mean? Like, whether or not that was our record, like, that's just how I feel about our team. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, we're okay. We're fine. I like the moves they made. They're trying. We're in the same division as the Dodgers. So it's just going to be impossible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're a major market team, so they need to spend money because people buy tickets, they buy season tickets. But like, you know, I don't care about Bob Melvin, or it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? I don't think the manager's the thing.
Well, so, I mean, we had a moment this week where, you know, people, I feel like this happened with Bob Melvin, Andy Green, and Tingler, where early in the season they get into it with the umpire, and everybody gets jacked up about how passionate he is, and they say, well, the last guy didn't do that, and it's all like a reflection of us just being really annoyed with Bud Black. It all goes back to Bud Black.
you guys need Bud Black.
But like, you know, Schilt was basically cursing out an umpire for good reason. I mean, I think he was right, and it's
who is it? Mike Schilt?
Yeah,
who is that?
He looks like the Cardinals.
He looks like the manager of the AutoZone by my house. Like, who is this guy?
he's like a wood.
Hey, Sean, he's the manager of the AutoZone.
that makes a lot of sense.
He looks like a woodshop teacher who's like, no, we're doing all 6 weeks of safety training, homies. you're not touching a saw.
Where I'm like, until hey, Thanksgiving. The air conditioner's not working. He's like, oh, this is exactly what you need. You fill up the Yeah, like, I mean, so is this his first job
when
managing?
When he's on a plane.
Oh, no.
He lands when he lands.
He's the Cardinals manager?
When he lands in a plane, he claps, right? Yeah.
He was the Cardinals manager, and he had good success there, actually. But then something happened. There was something weird, and he lost the job there. And then he kind of bounced around as like a, I think it was with the Braves, right? If I'm not mistaken, maybe he was like a first base coach or a bench coach.
Yeah,
he's had
he a player?
He's been in the Padres organization.
Have you seen him? He's obviously never been a player.
Max Muncy. He's a Max Muncy type for sure.
I don't know. I'm kind of a
play.
I like guys. I mean, you know me. I like coaches who are players, but.
But just like us who played real ball. I think Mike Shildt, so far the team seems like they actually give a shit under Shildt. So. Yeah.
And I'll say the post-game interviews are the best since Bochy, I'd say. Who had a better
He's pretty
one
great.
Since Bochy?
He seems like he's interviews. He seems like he's invested, and the team seems like they're invested under him, and I'll take it. Like Bob Melvin, I liked Bob Melvin. I don't think Bob Melvin was the problem whatsoever. I think AJ Preller has a terrible time constructing a roster, and you can see it again.
The worst.
This time around, it's like now he just screwed up with pitching. He had no idea what he's doing with pitching, and now we don't have pitchers. Like Waldron's not great at all. I like Michael King. He had a weird game today, but I think it was more to do with some miscues than anything else. But I like Michael King a lot. I love Dylan Cease. That was a great trade. And I love you, and I love Musgrove. We'll see what happens with him. But he clearly just doesn't know. There's just always something lacking in how he puts together a team. He can't complete the project, and it's really, really frustrating. Bob Melvin just seemed like the guys just seemed like they didn't want to play for him, or it just seemed like I said, or Soto was some sort of an issue with the team. Or maybe it was Josh Bell.
I agree about the roster construction too, because, and I know I sound like the hot girl that is now, you know, spoiled or whatever, but when you spend the kind of money the Padres are spending on a team, and they're even spending a lot this year relative to their history, and the roster is so lopsided, it is almost painful. Then you do weird things like take a bunch of second basemen and shortstops and shuffle them around to every other position. Like literally our center fielder is a shortstop, his first time playing center field. He's doing great, but not a center fielder.
Right field is
Yes. Then you switch Kim and Bogarts, which in my opinion has been just a total disaster defensively. If you've been watching games this year, they do things that little leaguers do in baseball. Like Kim should have taken a double play. Bogarts is coming across the bag towards shortstop and he shuffles the ball to him when he could have easily stepped on the bag. Just like stuff you should not be paying guys $25 million a year to do, but he never been at second base before. Then you have a first baseman who's not a first baseman, who's really struggling, who you gave a bunch of money to also, who's just lost at the plate because he thinks he's a first baseman because that's what they told him he is, but he's a second baseman, if anything. It is, and then you have, you know, Machado's hurt, so we give him the leeway on that, but then you have just a gaping hole again in left field. Thank goodness Profar has some possessed spirit inside of him and is performing, but I don't know if that can take you through a whole season. So when my season tickets have like quadrupled in 5 years and we look kind of good on paper and we have some flashy names, and yet what we're the value for what the tickets cost and the prices at the game, it is just so out of whack. I've never seen it so bad in Padres history. In my opinion.
Yeah, I will say that those things are a bit, I mean, they're like, I want to go to a game this year and go to a couple games this year, and
you have to refinance your house first. But
it is a lot of money to go to a game, and there are some of those things.
And the resale is not there anymore. Last year, tickets were going for more than face value. This year, they're going for like half of face value.
I think Kim's doing fine at short. I think that Bogarts at second. I think it comes down to Bogarts being a not comes down to, but Bogarts was a mistake. He's not playing well. He's starting to hit the ball a little bit, but it's just there's just no need
below the
Mendoza
line.
There's just no need for the guy. When you bring up CJ Abrams, Sean, it is one of those things where it's like,
damn,
you know, like he's, but to me, it's like, who knows if he's going to be some great shortstop for years to come? Who knows? I still do the Soto trade. I'm not crying over CJ Abrams. But it's one of those things where it's like, until this, like Jackson Merrill is a good example. Until Jackson Merrill or Camposano, the team just seems so reluctant to let the young guys play. They are so reluctant to let these guys come up and play under Preller. And it's so frustrating. And you have Merrill who like, well, where is he going to play? He's a shortstop. How are we going to get him on the field? And it's like, well, put him in center field. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, when, like, at some point it seemed like it just stopped, that they stopped moving positions on guys, unless you're catcher. But it used to happen all the time. And it's like, these are 22-year-old kids who want to find a way to in the big leagues. Let him go learn center. And I felt like CJ Abrams was a perfect case of that. It's like, he was expendable because he played a position we didn't need him to play. But it's like, could he have gone to second? Could he have gone to center field at the time or right field? We could have really used CJ Abrams correctly and he could still be on the Padres.
But you had to give something up for Soto. Like, it wasn't just because they didn't just trade CJ Abrams because they couldn't find a spot for him.
No, but I think he was expendable.
Fielding offers. Washington was saying we want a lock.
They
want
to get out of it before he signs. But
Gore didn't necessarily need to be Abrams.
Gore was the prize, I thought.
They were getting – I mean, CJ Abrams was a highly touted prospect at that time. I mean, you could see why. It wasn't just that. Washington was getting other offers for Soto. Like, they were going to
take something. No, I'm just saying that Abrams – but that handling of Abrams made him expendable. Like, it made him on the block. Whereas I don't know if let's say he came up and he started playing a different position that we actually had a hole in and he was hitting, I don't know if he would have been on the block. But the fact that they stuck him at short and we didn't need him at short, I think that made him more accessible in trade. And also the only I've said this from the get-go and I will continue to say, the only prospect I'm really pissed off that we lost in that trade was Wood. I think Wood is going to be the guy that we wanted Soto to be, and it's going to be a bummer.
Well, one other thing about the Soto trade that I think people kind of skip over is the fact that Tatis was suspended during that. Yeah. So, like, he wasn't – they needed more power. They needed
– Well, no, he wasn't suspended. He was hurt.
I thought he was hurt, and then he got –
No, remember, he got hurt, and then he came – and then there was that whole thing, well, he's coming back now. He's coming back. And it was that thing where he's on the train. It's because you're fans.
Yeah. 22 was back. Hurt, 23 was suspended.
And then he was like, oh, he's finally coming back and he's going to join the team. But they didn't know why he was by himself at the airport. And it was basically because he had been suspended and caught. Yeah, that was it. Yeah. What in the world is happening, Sean? You were playing Zoom games.
I was hoping that would do something. That was going to do this.
Are you excited about Blake Snell? That's all I want to know.
He's really bad right now. Great. Does this do anything? Am I on video?
I'm glad that, you know, Cease is giving us what Snell gave us last year. And it's
so still here, 500. I'm glad you guys have asked about the Giants. Thanks for, I'm starting a new Giants podcast called
The Dodgers aren't even good yet. They're not even like balling out. Well,
let's all just take comfort and joy in the Dodgers being what, like one game over 500. Here's the deal. Blake Snell probably should have gone to AAA first, but you signed the Cy Young Award winner and they're going to give him maybe a little bit too much rope. So he's not there yet. What's great though is some of our other pitching has stepped up to keep us afloat. We should not be as good as we are on paper. Our pitching was not going to be very good. The beginning of March, it was kind of like Logan Webb and then like who? But Kyle Harrison's been good. The whole Jordan Hicks experiment has worked out so far. He's got the lowest ERA on the team, Dallas.
As his fantasy owner, I can tell you it's been all right.
He's been okay, but he's getting him. He's not the reason they're losing.
No. That's what I admire about the Giants organization, Sean. And that's why I think that you guys had so much success for so many years, is that you bring up the young guys and you just go. You don't give up on them.
Like, not necessarily.
Except for Joey.
No, you gave Joey.
Joey went up and down. Luciano's gone up and down. Harrison came in last season, and I think he went back down. Like, it's not just like you're up and here we go. Patrick Bailey was, but because we really needed a catcher. But he's shown that he can do a very good job behind the plate. framing pitches. He's kind of like a well-rounded option behind the plate. But yeah, I mean, like, Luciano is a tough one for us because we had not had a big hitting prospect since like Buster, maybe. We really haven't. And so he's been injured. So that's the hard part is like, I don't know what his story is going to be. But we really, Giants fans really need him to come up and be awesome. We haven't had a homegrown.
Wasn't Panda your guy? Wasn't he your homegrown guy?
I mean, he was a Giant, but like Pablo Sandoval, besides
he was
like
a hitter,
he was a hitter and he was a World Series MVP, but he was never like the best baseball, like never the best hitter in the league kind of, you know, player.
I mean, well, when you baby Buster Posey and protect him on all fronts, you know, create rules so you don't have to hurt baby Buster, then he's going to be a good hitter.
We just haven't had like prospect wise, you know, a dude in a while. So,
well, you know, I still think your team and the Rangers did it last year. And I mean, both teams who wound up in the World Series did it last year. I think those teams who don't try to, the Padres tend to, like you said, brought up, you know, Hicks. I get it wrong. Hicks, Wick, it's Hicks, right? Cause Wicks is on the Cubs.
We didn't know Hicks was a closer for the, Hicks. Cardinals that we've made into a starter.
You or Harrison, like you bring
Harrison's
up these guys,
is our guy.
Yeah, you bring up these guys, you set him down. But when you send him down, you don't overcompensate by going out and getting David Wells. You know what I mean? Like you don't go out and get some free agent that was great 70 years ago. Like it's just, I feel like the Padres make that mistake where it's like instead of just riding with some of the younger guys and maybe they go up and go down. They go out and they try to overcompensate and get these players that you're like, why the hell are we watching this? Like, why are
They signed Bogarts for 10 years.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So, like, we have those guys. Like, we have, like, Nick Ahmed on our team while Luciano's trying to figure out if he's going to be coming up. But we didn't sign Nick Ahmed to, like, a 10-year deal. Like, that's the thing.
People like Nick Ahmed.
And that's fine. Oh, and he's, like, leading the Giants in average or whatever. Yeah. And he's a veteran. He's great. Yeah. But like, they don't go too deep on like, you know, contracts. The Jung Hoo Lee thing was like, we gave him a lot of money, but he already looks very good. He's doing exactly what we need him to do. He's not striking out at all. He's getting on base. Like, I'm hoping he's our leadoff hitter for the next, however long, like 10 years or whatever. I really like him. I'm excited. The Giants did a lot this offseason, like more than they've done in a long time. I don't think it's a World Series team, but it's a fun team to root for in a very, very busy and crowded division, you know, minus the Rockies.
I mean, hey, guys, we're not the Rockies, you know, and
that's been the catchphrase for 250 episodes.
Well, yeah, I mean, 250 episodes. I don't know. Is there anything else we want to hit tonight? I think
just want to say, I'm excited about this team. And I don't know why Sean's shaking his head. I'm excited about this team. I think the Dodgers are going to be worse and worse. I don't think they have pitching. So I don't think they're going to be that good. I think everybody thinks they're going to be amazing. I don't think they're going to be that good. I think they still could totally win the division, but they're not going to run away with it.
Would you bet on it?
Bet on what part? That they're going to run away with it or win
just
the division?
Gamble. I mean, just gambling on the Dodgers. I don't know. They seem like...
I would place a very strong $20 bet that they win the division within 5 games.
The next place team will be 5 games.
5 games back. I don't think they're going to run away with this division. I think that they are not as good as people think. Past Freddie Freeman and Shohei Ohtani and Mookie Betts, which are three phenomenal players.
Yeah. Mookie Betts is unreal.
You don't really have much going on. Will Smith is good, but he's streaky. Max Muncy is going to die of hot dogs at any point. Die of second breakfast at any point. And they just don't have the pitching. So I don't think that.
Don't they have the pitching? Who are their pitchers again, Dallas?
Exactly. Who are their pitchers again?
What if the Diamondbacks just win the division?
They've got.
We're in front of the Diamondbacks right now.
They got Gosselin.
They got Gosselin. They got. Who's the other old guy? James Paxton. They got Paxton.
Glasnow.
Bauer.
Glasnow.
They've got Bobby Miller.
They
really
still
good.
Have Bauer.
Oh, Bobby Miller's all right.
I think they're
Trevor,
better.
Trevor Bauer is a Dodger. That's all I know.
Trevor Bauer.
Kershaw,
got Trevor.
Kershaw's coming back. I hate, like, I love nothing more than the Dodgers to be awful, but I don't think they're bad. I think they're.
I didn't say
really
they were bad.
Good.
I didn't say they're bad.
They're gonna,
I just don't think they're
like
gonna run away.
I think they're gonna be like 40 games over 500.
Yeah, that's probably true, Nick.
But the Diamondbacks.
I still think they're gonna lose in the playoffs, which is just that's just a great treat we get to enjoy every year.
Yeah. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Well,
I don't know. I'm excited too. This doesn't feel as frustrating as last year. And that's
I'm not frustrated at all. You know how many I've watched almost every game this year. Because I've just wanted to watch the game. I wanted to watch Merrill bat. I wanted to watch Michael King throw and Cease throw. Like, I want to watch these guys. I think Campy is going to be a great trade piece. I think they can trade him at the end of the year. Like, this is one of those seasons for me where it really will show you, can AJ Preller craft a team? Because he has clear holes that he needs to fill. And he doesn't need to do it by going into free agency. He can like Dylan Cease is a perfect example where maybe he's an ace, but he wasn't really an ace. He was just considered like a good pitcher, like a pretty good pitcher. And AJ gave up probably too much to get him, but he didn't go out and sign someone to $300 million. It was like, you went out, you got a good pitcher. You needed that hole filled. You got that hole filled. So how does he do that with the rest of this team? Like, how does he go out and get somebody, you know, to play or to be another pitcher? We need one more, you know, solid pitcher. Like, can you trade Camposano and somebody else to make that happen? Like, to me, this is a really good opportunity to see if he can make it as a general manager. And if he can't, then we need to fire that
guy. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the trust. This probably has a hard line on what he can spend.
You guys
Which is great. Great.
How many playoff games have you seen under Preller?
Not enough, dude.
He's had three series.
More than your previous, right? I mean,
no. Kevin Towers still stands as the winningest GM.
Is the
think.
Guy?
Yeah.
All right.
They made the playoffs in 2020, which wasn't.
Which doesn't count.
Wasn't a real postseason.
He hasn't had that much success at all.
Besides 2020, that's it. There was a lot, 2022, and 2020 doesn't count. So it's really one legitimate postseason.
And that's our.
And he's also hired now four managers.
It's tough to be lost at the same time as the Dodgers, man. That's the thing. The Dodgers, it's like they're like the, in terms of the division, they're like the Tom Brady. It's just like, sucks that we have to be alive during this run. For them. It sucks
that we have to be alive during this run. It's
yeah, so it funny. Does, dude. The Chargers would have won how many Super Bowls if it wasn't for you know who?
Well, we'll get back to this. You know, the next 250 episodes, I think we're gonna do it for us. Okay,
Nick,
that first 250 for you guys, the listeners, but now it's just gonna be for us.
I'm excited for our new series.
This is for Peter. For Peter.
What's the MLS team's gonna be? What's your name?
We are SDFC. That's
okay,
all I
so
know.
This
know
is gonna be an SDFC Earthquakes podcast going forward. I'm done talking about the Giants.
Are we in the same division?
Love it.
We're in the West. Gonna be in the same. The Earthquakes are having a historically bad year. They've lost every game except for one, and it's the one I was in Las Vegas for, and I bet on them. But next year, I'm excited.
Let's do it.
Sean, what's your let me get this from you. What do you think the Giants are gonna? What's your record in a season record for the Giants?
Oh, I don't know. How many games do they play? I think we'll be like a couple games over 500. I don't think that this team's built to last, but I'm excited. It's gonna be a fun year.
Yeah.
Well, hey, Sean, thanks for coming on.
Love you.
Check out Tox Chrome next time it posts.
Sometimes we do that.
We slow down a little bit, but we're still pulling heat.
Yeah, we'll bring it back. You know, you got to let the audience just wait. You know, But yeah, thanks for coming on. You know, this is a historic moment in San Diego sports podcasting. And
it is. It legitimately is.
Put it in the Hall of Champions.
It really is. That's the craziest thing. This is a legitimate moment in San Diego.
Black for the Hall of Champions.
I just want to say to all the, you know, all the upstart Padres podcasts, you know, once you guys get to 100 episodes, we'll think about remembering your name. You know,
keep jumping on X with all your little videos. They're very cute.
Just keep doing it.
Yeah, know? Upgrade your Zoom accounts like Travis did.
Yes, before.
Appreciate it, Travis.
You can be like us. Yeah. Don't stop.
I'll chip in for the extra Zoom minutes, Trav.
You need I'd like to end this historic episode with a quote from Peter Seidler. One year soon, the baseball gods will smile on the San Diego Padres, and we will have a parade. He's dead now. So.
Beautiful. Rest in peace, Peter.
Keep the faith. Follow Sean on X.
Rest in peace, Gabe Kapler.
At Sean T. O'Donnell. I don't even post there anymore.
Yeah, it's over. All right. We'll see you next week or next month. Keep the faith.
Thanks, dudes.
Yep.
NL West forever.
And everlast. And a West House.